Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up as always is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, feel free to go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. I got a couple of items that I wanted to touch on just to top off the show. Got a lot of stuff to get into. NFL scouting combine, some stuff going on in the NFL, particularly with Shedeur Sanders, new coach Todd Monken of the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson's name has come up. No, it does not involve massage parlors and stuff like that. But nevertheless, his name is propped up yet again. We'll get into some stuff. I saw the St. John's Red Storm lose last night, get blown out by Dan Hurley and his UConn Huskies, shooting 2 of 28 in the second half, missing their final 24 shots. Good Lord have mercy. And this is a new definition for ineptitude, and it's St. John's. That's what it is. We'll get into all of that a little bit later on in the show, especially as March Madness approaches. But it's appropriate that I start the show off with this. The San Antonio Spurs are title contenders. I'm going to say it again. Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs are title contenders. They have now won 10 in a row, 8 of them by double digits, and trail only the reigning defending NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference. They had an 8-game winning streak in December, too, as well. The two top seeds in the NBA are the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Detroit Pistons. They're the only teams with double-digit win streaks this season, outside of the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs versus top teams this year, they're 4-1 versus the Thunder. They're combined 11-5 against the top 6 seeds in the Western Conference. They're 3-0 versus the top 3 teams in the Eastern Conference, the Pistons, the Celtics, and the Knicks. And they're combined 8-1 against the other top 3 seeds in each conference. This is not a team that's built to win down the road. This is a team that's trying to win the championship right now. And Greg Popovich is not there. Coach Mitch Johnson is. Again, they're chasing Oklahoma City Thunder. But remember, they've beaten them 4 out of 5 times. They're on a 10-game winning streak right now. Do you see the fear this young man, 22 years of age, is striking in players throughout this league? You got cats with their head on a swivel driving in for layups because they don't know where the hell he at or where he's coming from. And it's gotten so bad that this brother is sitting around lollygagging, acting like he's not paying attention and all of this stuff just to bait dudes to come into the lane so he could come out of nowhere and pin their shot to the boards or send their shot into the bleachers. This is Victor Wembanyama we're talking about. This is the guy that was the unsung star of All-Star Weekend because he literally put Team USA, Stars and Stripes, because there was 3 different teams, put them all on notice. He hopes they will win effort. He hopes they will take it seriously. But they needed to know if they didn't, he'd do it for them. Those were his words, not mine. This is Victor Wembanyama we're talking about here. Victor Wembanyama. This is a San Antonio Spurs team that hasn't reached the postseason since 2019. Hasn't won a playoff series since 2017. And yet we're sitting here today, looking at them right now and saying, my God, is it possible? Could they end up winning it all? And I'm just looking at them right now and I'm saying, yes, they can. Not trying to sound like Obama, but yes, they can. It's the truth. Victor Wembanyama right now, San Antonio Spurs, they're 42-16 overall. I'm looking at Victor Wembanyama, and he's averaging 24 points a game, league-leading 2.9 blocks. I thought it was actually more than that. 11.2 rebounds a game, shooting 81.2% from the free throw line. He's got a handle. He's got a J. He's got a 3-point shot. He can bring the ball up the court. I mean, when you think about him, of course you don't think about Shaquille O'Neal in the same breath, because Shaquille O'Neal was 7'1", over 320 pounds, and was a mammoth of a man that just, I mean, just reduced human beings to rubble in a powerful way. Victor Wembanyama, my man Wendy was just telling me this, one of the things that vexes him, that gets him agitated real quick, is when somebody brings up his height. Because he doesn't want to be known as being great because he's 7'5". He wants to be known as being great because his skill set says he is. His ball handling skills, his perimeter shooting, his three-point shooting, his willingness to finish at the basket, him being frail thin and not being scared to go at anybody physically. The only thing missing from his game is girth and potentially durability. He's that dude. He's that dude. There isn't a discussion as to who the defensive player of the year is. I can't think of anybody who's even in the category, who's even in the conversation other than Victor Wembanyama, because he stands out that great above the crowd. I'm looking at this kid right now. This kid is in his third season. And I'm like, what you going to do with him? His rookie year, he averaged 21.4 points in winning rookie of the year. His second year in the league, he averaged 24 points. He's at 24 points again this year. Ironically, for some reason, his shot blocking has gone down from 3.6 per game his rookie to 3.8 his second year to 2.9 this year. Could it be because people are launching jump shots and they don't want to shoot anywhere near him? It's probably so. He's that dude. He's that dude. But he is not the only reason that the San Antonio Spurs are title contenders. This kid Vassell can play. This kid Castle can play. They've got a champion in Harrison Barnes that knows a little bit about what it takes. They have a point guard and a floor general in De'Aaron Fox, yeah, averaging 19 a game, but anytime he wants to, he can average over 23, 24 a game because he's done it throughout his career. This is De'Aaron Fox we're talking about. The man responsible for the only argument I've ever gotten into with the great Irvin Magic Johnson, because I wanted Magic Johnson to draft him for the Lakers instead of Lonzo Ball out of Chino Hills, courtesy of UCLA, because I saw that brother go up against De'Aaron Fox in the NCAA tournament. I saw him go up against De'Aaron Fox before that, and I saw De'Aaron Fox give it to him. De'Aaron Fox has always been a stud. Always been a stud. And talk about brilliance. And him getting himself out of Sacramento and getting to San Antonio, he was wise. Look at San Antonio. Look at Sacramento without him. And look at San Antonio with him. It's not an accident that you're winning the amount of games that you're winning. As great as Wembanyama is, and as great as he is going to be, and the impact that he's expected to have, De'Aaron Fox has a lot to do with it, because the brother can ball, and he's a leader. He's a floor general. He's a leader. He's smart as a whip. He's the real freaking deal. Do you have any idea what the Lakers would have been if the Lakers had him? As I reflect on that too, I'm thinking about a couple of things. This just came up on time to my producers. I'm sorry, you know, but you got to go left sometimes. Stuff just pops into my head in a moment's notice. And I was just thinking about something as I was going on this soliloquy right here. Thinking about De'Aaron Fox. That same draft, it could have been De'Aaron Fox, or they could have drafted Jason Tatum. The Lakers today, with a Jason Tatum or De'Aaron Fox, is considerably different than what we're seeing. In my opinion, that's two misses. I understand it was a business decision, not blaming the great Magic Johnson's basketball acumen, because you're running the Lakers and Jeannie Buss needed a business decision made and you wanted to grab somebody out of Chino Hills who was a local product starring at UCLA. I get it. It was good for tickets and sales and all of that. But thank God you got a new ownership in place and Jeannie Buss is still around. But the last thing the Lakers, who just purchased for about $10 billion, need to be concerned about is money. Because you got somebody owning the Lakers that got deep, deep, deep pockets. And I believe if that man was in place years ago, instead of right now, You don't draft Lonzo Ball. You draft Jason Tatum or De'Aaron Fox. That's what you do. One was a better point guard, and the other was an all-world 6'9" player coming out of Duke. But that's neither here nor there. In the end, it is what it is. And as a result of that now, when you look at the San Antonio Spurs, they're elite defensively. They've collectively bought in. They actually bait dudes towards areas where Wembanyama is acting like he's non-existent and he ain't anywhere to be found, only to come and swat it out of nowhere. Their defense is big time. So when you think about who they're going to go up against, okay, you go up against Houston. What's Houston's problem? They don't have a floor general. If Fred VanVleet was there, you could look at the Houston Rockets and say they could win it all. But you're not assuming that's going to be the case because they don't have a floor general. They don't have a point guard. They don't have a leader like that. And Kevin Durant can do only but so much offensively by his damn self. So it's not Houston. You look at Jokic. You know Denver always has a chance with him. And Jamal Murray, first-time All-Star, should have been a multi-time All-Star because he's that special, especially come playoff time. And, oh, by the way, shoot 53% from three-point range in the fourth quarter this season. That Jamal Murray, that dude, you can never rule them out. But, damn, Wembanyama and those boys are no joke. And as great as Jokic is, he ain't 7'5", and we know he can't jump onto a curb. So you got to assume that Wembanyama would be a problem for him. Oklahoma City is supposed to be those dudes because they're reigning defending NBA champions who collectively are elite defensively, who only managed one victory against the Spurs in five, count them, five meetings this year. Spurs beat them the other four. At some point in time, it's incumbent upon us to start taking San Antonio Spurs very, very seriously. And I got to say this too. I like that kid, Dylan Harper. And it ain't just because he's the son of my boy, Ron Harper. Great, great player in his days in Cleveland. Played alongside Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and winning championships, that Ron Harper. His son, Dylan Harper, this rookie. I like Dylan Harper. Giving you about 11 points a game. He's a rookie. Got an incredibly bright future. And learning under De'Aaron Fox, oh, my God, Dylan Harper's going to be nice. 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 He ain't the rookie of the year that is Cooper Flagg. He ain't Knipple. And Charlotte, who's shocking all of us by his ability to shoot the basketball from the field the way that he has. But Dylan Harper's no joke. Collectively, San Antonio is big time defensively. Offensively, they can score in bunches. Alley-oops to Wembanyama or giving them the ball or De'Aaron Fox doing his thing. Or others like Castle and Vassell and Harrison Barnes. Brothers can play. San Antonio is a legitimate bona fide threat to win the NBA championship. And that needs to be said. Paramount Plus celebrates Black History Month with the Black Voices Collection. You can stream stories of excellence like the series Watson, starring Morris Chestnut as a modern-day Dr. John Watson. He applies a specific type of deductive reasoning that he learned from his years working with the infamous detective Sherlock Holmes. And if you're feeling in the mood for stories of family and love, check out the David Oyelowo, led lawman Bass Reeves. You can also find David and Selma in Becoming King, both in the collection. And don't miss out on stories of community in Cedric the Entertainer's The Neighborhood and drama-filled The Chi. Explore series, movies, and more in the Black Voices collection on Paramount Plus. Stream now. Switching gears, I want to bring up a story that's posted on ESPN.com today. It is by Baxter Holmes. And it is a story written about the Black Mamba. But not in a way that you would think. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to read something to you. And I want you to stay with me. I'm going to read the first couple of graphs, the first few graphs, just to read and give you perspective. Nike staffers sat around a conference room table inside the company's Oregon headquarters in late 2002, examining a space-age material, black and tube-like. Tech Flex had commonly been found inside cars and airplanes. Its grip expanded and contracted whatever was placed inside it. Staffers saw it as a possible foundation for the next frontier of a basketball sneaker, one that wouldn't feature laces. Gentry Humphrey, a Nike executive tasked with marketing the shoe, looked at its braided sleeving. Quote, it kind of looks like a snake, end quote, he thought of to himself. Others thought the same. At home late that night, Humphrey searched the internet for more information about, quote, the most badass black snake there is, end quote. The search didn't take long. The top result, Black Mamba. The snake was described as lightning fast, agile, and feared. The same qualities as the star NBA guard for whom they were designing the shoe. Humphrey, who had worked at Nike since 1994, quickly prepared a presentation that featured the snake as the centerpiece of a new sneaker campaign. Alongside photos of the snake were videos of the NBA star attacking the basket. Soon after, Humphrey showed the presentation to his colleagues. The synergy between the material, the Black Mamba, and the NBA star felt natural, alluring. Quote, everybody was in on it, end quote, he told ESPN. From there, it was time to create a global campaign featuring the Black Mamba and present it to the player who would ultimately represent it. The player was Michael Jordan. This story by Baxter Holmes, ladies and gentlemen, essentially reveals that the Black Mamba was never intended for Kobe Bryant. It was intended for Michael Jordan. Jordan brand president Larry Miller to marketing director Jackie Thomas. MJ really liked the meeting. The product looked great, but you've got a problem. MJ doesn't like snakes. That was the problem. Michael Jordan didn't like snakes. As somebody who knows Michael Jordan, that would be applicable both literally and figuratively. Literally when it comes to snakes, figuratively speaking when it comes to people who he considers snakes. Michael Jordan is as straight up as they come. Brother, look you in your face and let you know exactly where you stand. You don't know him like I know him. He doesn't mince words. He's not a public figure like that that's going to go on camera and say a whole bunch of stuff like that. But privately, especially if he knows you, you will always know exactly where the hell he stands. He can't stand a two-faced bastard. That's why I love him. That's why I love him. Can't stand it. So there are literal snakes and figurative snakes he does not like. But the reason why I bring this story up is for two reasons. Number one, Baxter Holmes is going to come on the show at the top of hour number two to talk about this story that he wrote. Exceptionally well done, by the way. And number two, to pose a question to y'all. Who do you think would better represent the Black Mamba? Would it be Michael Jeffrey Jordan? Or would it be Kobe Bean Bryant? I'm here to tell you that although it is by default and it was not Nike's original intent, the right man was named the Black Mamba. That is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was perfect for this. But I'm telling y'all right now, the right man got the Black Mamba moniker. Got the Black Mamba label. Michael Jordan was that way on the court. Okay? When you talk about the swiftness, the agility, the skill, absolutely, positively true. Fast, agile, and feared. All of that was Michael Jordan on the basketball court. It was Kobe Bryant. You understand what I'm saying to y'all? I am 58 years old. And if there was ever a time where you get to look at somebody younger as an elder statesman per se and lean on their brilliance to illustrate and accentuate how potent they are, as a member of the younger generation, it was Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant wasn't just a fierce competitor, you know, with all the attributes that he brought on the basketball court. He was a true stone cold killer. It's who he was. He was also somebody that spoke not one, not two, not three, but four languages fluently. And was working on a fifth, Mandarin. If he hadn't mastered that by the time he passed away in that fatal helicopter crash that none of us will ever get over. Kobe Bryant was brilliant, and Kobe Bryant did not suffer fools, and Kobe Bryant was somebody that had no insecurities whatsoever as it pertained to his intellect. Michael Jordan is a brilliant dude, is a man that listens and learns and all of that other stuff, but he wasn't Kobe at Kobe's age. Kobe was always an intellectual. Kobe was always cerebral. And the same fear that he instilled in you on the court, he brought that to you off the court. And he would slice and dice you intellectually and mentally into mush if you were not prepared to have a conversation with him. If you approached him and you had a conversation with him, you had better know what the hell you're talking about. Because he did. And he wouldn't open his mouth unless he did. And he'd go home, and if he didn't understand something, he wouldn't see you again until he understood it. Who he was. On the basketball court, however, with the stuff that Jordan used to do and the fear that he instilled, people didn't talk smack to him. But remember that story that Brendan Haywood told about Gilbert Arenas and how Gilbert Arenas was talking and blah, blah, blah after he dropped 60 on the Lakers? And Kobe Bryant got on the phone and he was talking, calling himself the Black Mongoose. If the story on social media was true, what did Kobe say? Remember, you asked for this. And hung up. And didn't say anything. And didn't do anything until he saw them weeks later and then dropped over 30 in the first half. Remember when Jordan got the better of Kobe and took him to school and indicated to him, you ain't ready just yet? And Phil Jackson and everybody else on the Lakers talked about how Kobe Bryant wouldn't speak to anybody for weeks and was just quiet and wouldn't talk to anybody and was distancing himself from the rest of the team, salivating at the mouth to get his hands on Jordan again, who was a wizard by this time. And then ultimately they got on the court together and Kobe dropped damn near 40 in the first half to send Michael Jordan into retirement. This is what I'm talking about. The killer. Of course, Jordan was that on the court. Kobe was that way, period. He ain't going to do anything once his basketball career was over, really. He was still an astute businessman generating millions upon millions of dollars for himself. But as an aside, what did he do? He just happened to write some damn book and won an Oscar, or to produce some film and won an Oscar. It's Kobe Bryant. That's a Black Mamba. The right man. Got the Black Mamba label. Jordan don't like snakes, literally or figuratively. But the Black Mamba ain't about just on the basketball court. It's about life. Jordan wins. One as a player. One in NASCAR. One with the Jordan brand. No doubt. But he's also beloved and revered. Kobe was that way once he passed away and upon his retirement. But the emotion that was associated with him prior to his passing was mostly fear. Because you knew you had to be on your game to even be in his presence. Man didn't suffer fools. That's a Black Mamba keeping you on your toes because the slightest blink of hesitancy would enable him to strike and take you down. Michael Jordan did that primarily on the basketball court. Kobe did that in life. Not to say Michael Jordan didn't, but Kobe was known for it. That's why Michael Jordan loved him so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Your calls and more in a minute.